Blog Talk Radio.
Another broadcast of Saturday with the Word.
Saturday with the Word. For truly God is faithful, and truly we adore Him, and truly we magnify His name today. We give Him honor for who He is, and that He allowed His Son to shed His blood for us. This is Prophetess Teresa Phillip Dox, and I'm here once again just to pour out to all the listeners. We thank you for tuning in, and we graciously say thank you for just loving on God a little more. As you press into the things of God, God's going to grant you the desires of your heart. And we're so blessed to be given this opportunity to go into the Word of God. I want to encourage you to get your Bible out. For truly the Bible is our weapon. For the Bible is what we need. It's like a light that lead and guide and direct us to our destiny, to our blessed place, to the place where God wants to take us. So you need your Word. And get a notebook and get a pad, a pencil, a paper, even get a crayon if you don't have a pen. Get something to write with so you can jot down the notes. Because sometimes as the Word of God go forth, the enemy simply try to attack our minds so that we won't remember what God has dropped in our spirit as the Word has went forth. So I want to encourage you to make it a habit to get you a pad and start jotting down notes. For truly God wants to give you a Word. Give you a Word so that you will never be bound again. So those situations that you did not know how to conquer, that you'll begin to conquer things like never before. And we're going to go into the Word. Father, we thank you for another given opportunity. We thank you, Lord, that you have stayed with us. You have kept us. Father God, we thank you for a more excellent way. We thank you, Father God, that we can call on you and get an answer. For truly we are excited tonight for your goodness. For truly we are excited tonight that we are in our right mind and that every single time the enemy attack us, Lord God, you show up. So, Father God, as we press into the things of the kingdom, we ask you right now, Lord God, that you would release revelation knowledge. Open up the eyes, the mind, the ear gates of your people. Father, let them receive what you have given for them tonight. We thank you, Lord, that when they leave these lines, Father, that they will never be the same again. And we thank you for what you are doing and what you have done and what you are about to do. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Well, we're going to be talking tonight about sin and temptation. Sin and temptation. You know, the enemy try to attack us every single possible way that he possibly can. He try to tempt our thought life. He try to bring things into our view so that we can fall of prey, because sin will separate us from God. Sin will keep us from being in that blessed place with God. And I'm going to be coming from tonight, Romans 8 and 1. Romans 8 and 1. Thank you, Jesus. Where it reads, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm going to read it again. And as I read it, I want you to go into meditation about this scripture. There is therefore, not later, but now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We bless your name, God. You know, one of the tragedies of the Bible translation is sometimes the translation does not thoroughly give us a complete understanding of what the Bible is trying to convey to us. So I like to read the King James Version, and also I read NIV. And it's just certain versions that I get a better understanding of what God is trying to say to us. The condition of not being condemned in Christ Jesus has been removed from some of the versions. In fact, many translations now just say, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But Paul conditioned this freedom to those who are walking after the Spirit. So if you read that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, and you stop there, where it should be a comma and not a period. But there's a condition. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But guess what? We have to walk after the Spirit. It said those who continue to walk after the flesh bring themselves back into condemnation. And that will give the enemy legal rights to your life until you repent. So we don't want to give the enemy any legal right, because we can literally tell him that he is an unauthorized intruder. And that's when we can walk in our authority, because he don't have legal rights to do the things and attack our body, soul, mind, and spirit. So we have to walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. So when the flesh tells you one thing, and you know the Bible says that the flesh is willing, the Spirit is able to keep us, but we have to keep our minds on the things of God. So your mind might tell you, go do this and go do that. And we may not even consult the Holy Spirit. But Paul was identifying something within himself. And what was he identifying? He was identifying, it's called sin. I'm going to read verse, I'm going to go to verse Romans 6 and 12. Romans 6 and 12, it says, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye shall obey, should obey it in the lust thereof. If sin is in your body, what is that talking about? Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. If sin is already in your body, that scripture is telling us something, that you're going to obey lust, because sin is already there. It does not say that sin is not reigning in your body today. It says that you should not let it reign, and you should not obey it. Did you know sin could reign in your body? And it will cause sickness to your body? And sometimes we may think that we're okay, but sin can be reigning in our body, and we don't even know it. We probably go to church every Sunday, don't miss Bible class, Sunday school, choir rehearsal. We're there, and sin is reigning in our bodies because we're not walking after the Spirit. but we're walking after the flesh. Romans 6 and 13, the next verse, the word of God says, neither yield ye your members as instrument to unrighteousness unto sin, but yield ourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. What is this talking about? It does not say that you are not yielding your members as an instrument of unrighteousness. But what Paul is saying, that you should not be yielding your body as an instrument. You shouldn't be yielding your members of your bodies as an instrument to unrighteousness. So that means that you're allowing your members of your body to be subjected to things that you know are not righteous. They could be small things, simple things. Just say, for instance, you at a car dealership, free coffee packs and cream and sugar is there, and you decide, you know, you had your cup of coffee, and you see the sugar packs and cream, and you just take some and toss them over in your purse. And we know that that coffee was free. We didn't pay for that coffee. So we didn't pay for the cream and sugar either. It was a gift given to us because we're at the car dealership. So now, those are little things that we don't consider, because they're offering the coffee. It's obvious all the rest of this stuff is free. Come on. It's not for you to take home. So we're yielding members of our body to unrighteousness. But we're not considering that. So is it okay if we go to a restaurant and we're paying for the coffee and we're paying for our meal, that we take the cream and the sugar and throw it in our purse? Is that right? Well, we say we're paying for it. Is it right? I want you to go into the presence of the Lord, and I want you to talk to him about it. Sometimes it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. And that is the word of God. We should not yield ourselves to anything that does not line up with the word of God. We should be yielding to God in every member of our body, every member. Take it and make it an instrument of righteousness unto God, even when no one is watching, because God is forever watching. God is always there. The word of God says he neither sleep nor slumber. So he's always watching us. So we have to keep that in our spirit, that when we sow righteousness, do righteous things, that we're going to reap righteousness. And then when our members are used as instruments of righteousness unto God, then God would graciously grant us the things that we ask for, because he said, what you do in the dark shall someday be shouted from a mountaintop. So therefore, when we walk in righteousness, we'll reap righteousness. And in this setting of obedience, that's just being obedient to what the word of God says. So we have to apply it. And grace, the grace of God, make it possible for the power of the law to be broken so that we can repent from sin. Because actually it become a sin. It's something small, but it's something that's keeping us away from that blessed place, the destiny that God wants to take us. So we have to keep that in mind. Sin will have dominion over us because we do small, unrighteous things. But sin will not have dominion over us if we make a choice to walk after the Spirit and not the flesh. Because the flesh might say, well, you know what, I don't have no sugar at home, or I don't have no cream at home. Yes, it seems small. But when you're faithful over a few things, God said he will make you ruler over many. And when I minister this word, I always have to say that I'm ministering to me first. Because I want to be all that God wants me to be. And I'm not there yet. But my eyes is on the prize. We don't want sin to have dominion over us. We don't want our mortal body. We don't want the gate to be open so that the enemy can come and reign in our body and take over, and sickness come upon our bodies. And our minds are not regulated. So we want to be instruments of righteousness unto God. Now, because God's grace is available for us, it does not give us a license to sin. The Word of God says, must you continue in sin that God's grace abound? And in Romans, Paul talked about, no. Should you continue in sin that God's grace abound? God's forbidding that. He don't want us to rely on his grace and we continually stay in sin. He knew that we would fall short of the glory of God, so he made this grace available. Paul was talking about in verse 15, Paul asked this question. He said, what then shall we sin because we're not under the law, but we're under grace? That's what I was just talking about. For God forbid. For sin shall not have dominion over you, but you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? And the word again says, God forbid. Romans 6, verse 14 and 15. And then in verse 16, the big question, when he said, who is your master? And who are you a servant to? Sin unto death, or obedient unto righteousness? If you decide to serve sin, because you eventually begin to serve sin, sin become the server, the master. When sin become your lord, and you become its slave, so you become a slave to sin when sin is in your mortal body. Because the gate is open, and it's easy for you to not walk in righteousness because you begin to do other things that's not lining up with the Word of God. So we're not a slave to sin. God does not desire sin to be in the camp, because sin will keep you defeated. And when I said, I'm going to talk about seven steps to sin, things that will lead you to sin. The first thing that I want to talk about tonight is temptation. Temptation. You know, there's a place to rest for God's people. But we do not rest because of unbelief or because we're getting ahead of ourselves or we're getting ahead of God by fighting our own, we're fighting the enemy ourselves. Now, temptation is waiting at the door. Now, there's a time to defeat an enemy, and there's a time to prepare before you take your enemy on. And I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. before you can defeat sin, because sin is an enemy, you need to understand what is occurring within us. Because sometimes we don't even know it's sin. We're wondering why. Why I can't accomplish this? Why is this always happening? Why is it always something going on that I can't get what I'm asking God for? Lord, you said that you would give me the desire of my heart if I delight myself in you, and I've been doing that. But for some reason, the desires of my heart are not manifesting. Listen to this. Mark 7, verse 20 and 21. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. Those evil thoughts occur because they are sin in the camp. So when we have committed to sin, and we all have, we all fall short of the glory of God, but this is a reality. God wants his people set free. He don't want us to fall prey even to temptation. The first step to sin is temptation. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to break it down. I hope you're taking notes. Temptation is the thought of evil. See, temptation comes in the form of a thought without exception. No matter what the sin is, I want you to listen carefully to this. It starts as a part of our thinking process. And it can be so strong that it feels as if it has already happened. Now, many people sin simply because they have the thought of sin in their minds, and they therefore think that they've sinned already. So they go ahead and they actually sin. Is temptation actually sin? And I want you to listen. We do not have to sin just because we feel like doing it. The Bible say, get angry, but sin not. So is anger a sin? Without temptation, there's always something within us that has nothing to do with anyone else. But there may be temptation or evil in another person that hook up with temptation or evil in you. So you might be talking to somebody, and they're talking evil, and they're talking deceitful, or they're plotting, they're planning, they're strategizing, and it's going into your ear gate, and the two of you start working together with each other. And then you feel kindred spirit. And you both begin to fail. You both begin to fail. Especially in relationships between like husband and wife or in churches. You know, there are many temptations or evil that you can get hooked up with in another person by just listening to them. With temptation or evil in the other person, and the two of you start working together, and you start working toward maybe stopping someone from doing something, and then you become angry or bitter, or strife start developing. And with anger, it'll lead to bitterness. And when you're bitter, Sometimes you can be bitter to the bone. A root of bitterness starts developing, starts from a root. And as that root starts developing, the root will spread, you know, like a tree root. It might start off small, but then that root starts spreading, and it starts going deeper, and it starts growing wider. Thank you, Lord God. And it leads to strife. And just say, for instance, and I'm still talking about temptation. Lust is a form of temptation. Lust is not just a sexual thing. A lot of times we get mixed up and think lust is just sexual. But it's more. It could be so many other things. Even if temptation involves, just say, a disagreement with your brother, your sister, and the Lord. And then the process of lust is there. And I'm going to explain to you why. Lust includes everything. We have many examples written in the scripture personally from the Old Testament. In Corinthians, first I'm going to talk about Corinthians 10 and 6 where it says, "Now these things were our example to the intent we should not lust after evil, as they also lusted." So you can lust after evil. 1 Corinthians 10 and 6. You could be so upset that you begin to lust that something happened to that person. I'm going to read the scripture again. I didn't say it. "Now these things were our example to the intent we should not lust after evil, as they also lusted." See, lust includes exalting ourselves over another in every area of our existence, whether it's from jealousy or envy or bitterness or hatred or whatever. You know, our being self-exalted or self-fulfillment is idolatry. It's idolatry, I'm sorry. You are king, and everything around you should be kingly or kingdom. These are the little ikes that destroy the vines. And we think we're okay. We see a sister in church, and you know what? I just don't like her. I don't know what it is about her. Just don't like her. And that's how we talk. But we don't understand that that's a trap of the enemy. That when we grow up in God, that we understand that we can't afford not to like or dislike our sisters and brothers in Christ, and even anyone for that matter. It's too costly. It's too costly. See, Satan, he want to steal from us. He want to steal relationships. He want to steal our faith. And because whatever is not faith is sin. And that's what the Bible says. So sometimes we could be so angry at a person or so disappointed that it has developed roots and it has became where we want them to either be moved from a position or we hope that they don't get that new car or whatever it could be. And we can even get so much to the point that we can say, you know what, I'm going to pray about that one. But I'm going to get off that subject. I'm going to talk about faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Because, and all of this is going to line up together when I get to my delivery. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11 and 6, Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Every problem and every temptation that already exists within our spiritual makeup. See, Satan comes with his kingdom to exploit our weakness. And these things that I'm talking about become our weaknesses. Anger, bitterness, strife. So Satan began to make us weak. And when we get weak, our body's going to follow. You know, when you feel that there's temptation around, and I'm talking not just sexual temptation, but certain temptations like lust, certain temptations, anger, bitterness, these temptations that's trying to keep you from being all that God wants you to be and reaching that blessed place in Him. When we understand that the enemy is trying to exploit our weaknesses, because we fall prey of this all the time. It could be 1,000 temptations, all these different temptations, but there is one that you just always fall prey of, always fall in a trap. Of this one temptation. And whatever it may be smoking. It may be gossiping. It may be slander. It may be just being a hater. It may be being deceitful. Or not honest. Whatever it is. Satan will take that one thing. And he's going to always work on you. At your weakest link. And most of the trials and the temptation and the tribulation are always, always spiritual problems in our lives that Satan will constantly not only attack in us, but he would also attack our children, our grandchildren, because normally when the grandmother or the grandfather or the great-grandmother is weak in a certain area, normally if that curse is not broken, it's going to trickle on down to the children. Just say you got the great-grandmama on welfare. She raised her daughter to be on welfare. She raised her daughter to work the system. And then now you got this attitude, you're going to work the system. But actually, the system began to work you. And when I say you, I'm talking about me and whoever else. Because while a lot of people feel they're working the system, you become so limited with crumbs. And it's actually not pleasing to God. Because God wants us to work our gifts. He wants us to work our natural given talents and abilities and gifts that came from only the Master from on high. But anyway, when the family started duplicating what Grandma did, what Granddaddy did, and thinking that they're ahead, but it be getting worse. Then you find they have children that don't even want to work. Everybody want to work the system. But God is so good because he gave us a way of escape. These weak links, these become weak links. And when my mind went to Job, you know, the Bible says that Job was perfect in a lot of ways, but yet he had weaknesses. He was full of pride and fear. He tried to be God over his family, making sacrifices for his children. And the thing he feared the most came upon him. fear is the opposite of faith. So fear is not God. Fear did not come from God. So fear was a weakness. The Word of God says in Job 1, I think it's in the fifth B clause of the fifth verse, "For Job said, it may be that my son have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually." That was pride. It was something my son did. And cursed God in their heart. Don't want to take the blame. Don't want to be a stand-up man or a stand-up woman and take the blame. Lord, I've sinned. It's simple. "For the one thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come upon me." That's Job 3, verse 25. "There is incorrect teachings that say that when you are tempted, it's God's way of teaching you something. But what does the word of God say in James 1 and 13? "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man." So the devil is a liar. Don't even accept that in your spirit. Everything that is going on as a temptation to you is common in this world. Therefore, there has no temptation taken you that such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. You know, you can quit praying for God to remove the temptation. He wants you to defeat it. In other words, mind over matter. Your mind, if it's lining up with the spirit realm, you can defeat any temptation. You don't have a problem. You got everything inside of you to conquer, because God has made you a king, a priest, a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. Ha! Glory to God. We don't lose. We don't lose with what God used. And that's why I say, get the word of God. You can kill and crush the head of any demonic force. You already got it. You got what you need. Connect yourself with kindred spirits so that you can be strong in the Lord. And when you go around those that are weaker than you, don't condemn them. Encourage them in the Lord, because it could be you. You know, when I said God wants us to defeat temptation, he'll make provisions for us so that we can overcome. Sometimes you look like, oh, Lord, what am I going to do now? And so fear settle in. So now that link that you got to God is loosening. You holding his hand tight, and as soon as you get scared, you start letting his hand go because you're doubting. Now faith, you got an issue with, Lord, what am I going to do next? I'm going to stand my ground. Ha, shatarabokoshe. I'm going to stand my ground in God's word. they come up with that old bogus law about stand your ground, that you can shoot a person, kill a person, stand in your ground. We're going to stand our grounds in Jesus, stand our grounds in the Word of God. That's when you stand your ground. And it has to be dealt with, because it comes from within, and it's already in place. We already got what we need to defeat the enemy. God will give you strategies. If we can take our flesh and we can command it to obey, and we can take a zipper and zip our lips up and go into prayer and meditation, we don't have to always respond when the enemy come and bring issues to us. The difference between defeat and resist is this. Defeat is permanent. Resist, it indicates that there is still a battle taking place. What did Peter say about that? 1 Peter 1:7. That the trial of your faith, being more precious than of gold, that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. That the trial of your faith, yes, your faith gonna get tried, but you don't have to be scared. You don't have to be afraid, because when you're tried, you already know, listen to this, being more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, glory to God, might be found unto praises and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. God wants us to defeat temptation, because in the day that you don't, it becomes your sin. And when you are fellowshipping with demons, when sin is in the camp, when the gate is open, an enemy can come in and out anytime he wants to. So he start bothering your body. He start messing with your organs. He start messing with your glands. He start messing with your body, because what you allow to enter into your body through sin, it might be, and you know what? Some people say, well, it don't take all that. Well, you know what? It takes that and more. So you say, okay, I'm playing these lotteries. Okay, I'm reading the horoscope. And then you become worshiping this stuff. Every Tuesday you're going to read the horoscope, because Tuesday is your day, or Wednesday is your day. I got to read the horoscope, see what the Lord's saying about me. I mean, I hear people talking that foolishness, reading horoscopes and saying it's God talking to them. Playing lotteries because they're saying God's going to bless them through the lottery. Jesus. So now we're allowing sin to be part of our being. So that kingdom that's being built inside of us is not the kingdom of God, because now it is becoming the kingdom of the enemy. Because the Holy Spirit says, I will not dwell in an unclean temple. So now the Holy Spirit is gone, and now you got a zeal of God, not according to knowledge. But I want to say this, that the thing which the Gentiles, sacrificed. They sacrificed to the demon, to the devil, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. That's what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians 10:20. All evil in mankind comes from within the heart of a man, woman, or child. Jesus. And this develops who we are. We want to walk in divine health, but we got these evil thoughts. We allow temptation to cause us to miss our blessing. Now I'm going to kind of flip the script a little bit because we're coming to a close. But there's also could be a blessing in the midst of temptation. James 1 and 12 says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. So when the temptation comes, we have to endure temptation. Every temptation you face is an open door to God's blessing. Every demon of hell is looking for you to trip, so you can trip up, so he can have legal right to come in with his spirit and cause him to become the King of Kings in your life. Satan, he personally tempt Jesus at the highest level possible. Spiritual intellectualism and pride. He thought he had Jesus when he tried to tempt Jesus, but it didn't work. It didn't work. So we got to know being drawn away. That's the second temptation. I mean, the second temptation that will lead you to sin. I stayed on the first one a while, but being drawn away, the second step to sin is becoming preoccupied with the thought. To be drawn away is to have a strong imagination about a temptation, to start viewing it, and to let your mind be drawn to it. At that stage, sin is starting to form a reality in you. It is not just an idle thought. It is starting to take form. I'm going to use the word formship. It starts to be settled in your spirit. Jesus, only got the two of them. And I just thank God, because we have to understand that sin will creep in and we can get drawn away and we can actually be and went through something in our childhood or even in our adulthood that have not been settled. We never talked about it. We just kept it suppressed. And we think that we're free. I want to encourage you tonight. If there's anything that's inside of you that have caused you pain, that have caused you tears, that have not been dealt with, that has not been settled, I'm encourage you tonight to get free. Settle it. If somebody hurt you, go to them. I don't care if it was 20 years ago. It's still there. Get it out. Get set free. Tighten up. Tighten up. The more that you're free, whom the Son set free is free indeed. And he gave us this freedom so that we can walk after the Spirit. But if we are engulfed with our past pain, we can't get it. The freedom that we deserve, the healing that we deserve, the divine direction that we need, because there's unfinished business. And you got what you need inside of you to make it happen. And as I was talking about being drawn away, is that sin? Or is that temptation? When we get drawn away, it takes us to a stage of idle thoughts, and that becomes the sin. And then I wanted to go in more detail, so it looked like this is going to be a two-part teaching. But on next week, I'm going to talk about personal lust. And I told you I had 7 points that I was going to make, and I only got a chance to make 2, but glory to God. And I pray that you were blessed. But I'm going to talk about the forming of sin, personal lust, and enticement. And then 5, when lust is conceived. And then 6, the actual sin. And then 7, the consequence of our sin. So knowing, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to say our sin, because I ain't claiming none of it, but the consequence of sin, how God wants us to have dominion, and how we have to take it step by step, so we got to clean up the old, so we can get into the new. And I'm going to say this in closing. I'm going to do a prayer, but I'm going to say this in closing. If you got some situations that raise up in your spirit every now and then, and it's still bothering you, I want to encourage you. Write it down. Write down the person's name if a person is involved. Even if you did something wrong to someone and you didn't go back to them, write it down. I'm telling you, it will pay off, because when you begin to even ask forgiveness or even just release, you begin to feel so free that when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to you, that you'll move in haste. Because sometimes when we have held this stuff in so long that it's comfortable within us, and we might be with that person and then start thinking back, but we don't say anything. So now that's there. So it's so easy for us to get an attitude with someone else because the gate is open. So God wants us to get sharper, keener, so we can do the warfare, so that we can do the strategic plans to bring people into the kingdom, so the pathway of wholeness and freedom can come. Freedom has to come. We must recognize the small that destroy the vine, the small foxes. We must recognize that. We must be responsible. We must repent, renounce, remove, resist, rejoice, and restore, so we can help everyone to be free. So I just thank God for this word tonight. And Father, I ask you right now, Lord God, that everyone on this, that everyone will know, Father God, what you expect of them, Father. How you expect them, Lord God, to get free. How, Lord God, you expect them, Lord God, to follow through. That as they have come on this line, Father, tonight, Father, that you got freedom waiting for them, Father. That you got health waiting for them, Father. That you got life, long life, waiting in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to ask those on the line, if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you want to be part of the kingdom of God, that you expect God. You respect him as your father. I'm encouraged tonight to repeat after me. Father, I have sinned. And Father, I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. I believe Jesus died, and I believe that he rose again. And I believe that he's sitting on the right hand of the Father. But Father, I ask you, Lord, that you would accept me just as I am. I accept that you're Lord of Lords. And every drop of blood that Jesus shed was for me. Is that easy? If you said those words, then you meant it from your heart. I welcome you into the kingdom of God. I welcome you to the body of believers. Everybody's rejoicing. The angels are rejoicing. God's people are rejoicing. We're rejoicing. You can send us an email, kingdomdaughters1@yahoo.com, and we will make contact with you. If you don't have a Bible, we would love to send you one. Don't. And if you prefer an MP3 player, audio, Bible, we can even send you one of those. So I want to encourage you tonight to send a good church that's teaching Jesus as the Son of God. You need Jesus. Your family needs him. And we're going to close out with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for your word. And God, I hope that this has set a lot of your people free to overcome. God, I trust the word. I trust that the word has set things in place to assist them in becoming more mature in their overcoming temptation. God, I do not ask you to deliver in spite of the evil. But I ask you, Lord, to deliver them in the midst of the evil so that they may be victorious and that you will be glorified, Lord God. And all the people of God will be blessed, Father. I thank you for the blood of Jesus. And I cover everyone on this line with the blood of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, that they would know you, Lord God, and that they would hear your voice. The name of Jesus. Father, we glorify you, we magnify you, we love you, Lord. Thank you for Saturday with the word, Father. Let it penetrate the minds, the hearts, the soul, and the spirit of your people. And Father God, we thank you as you keep us, as we go about our ways, as we go about our evening, Father, that we would keep this in our mind, soul, and our spirit. And we recognize, Father, that you're with us. And that you're leading us and you're guiding us and you're directing us. And we magnify and we glorify you in the name of Jesus. And we say, amen. Amen. Well, to God be all the glory. To God be all the praise. And to God be all the honor. We thank you for tuning in to another broadcast of Saturday with the Word. And we encourage you to tune in next week. Call somebody else. Call them up and tell them to join in with us. And next week we will be on Skype. So if you have Skype, you can come in and come on Skype with us. We'll be giving you our Skype address so you can come in and be on Skype as well. I just want to, don't want to miss anything. I just want to encourage you to join in next Tuesday with Jess Bree, with Evangelist Hannah at 7 p.m. And then on Thursday, we have the Warfare Hour with Apostle Carlton Earl Richardson Clark. And then on Friday night, we have Apostle Brooks at 7 p.m. And then I'll be with you next Saturday again with Saturday with the Word. So I encourage you tonight to tune in, call somebody up, and we will be on Skype next Saturday. We're moving up a little higher, and we will be starting our Screaming Television really, really soon. So God bless you. Stay encouraged and know that you win with God. You can't lose. It's a fixed fight. So God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful rest of your weekend.